Welcome. You're listening to the Parkway Podcast.
When I was walking through the edge New Year's Eve, half of the kids I didn't even recognize, know who they were, watching the gospel impact them in such a powerful way. Parkway is always going to be known as a church and a ministry that is constantly trying to pay it forward to reach the next generation. Youth and children are something that is near and dear to this pastor's heart. It doesn't mean that's the only thing that we're going to be doing. We believe God cares about everybody regardless of your age. But we do believe that we have a responsibility, especially to the children and youth of this community, to provide an environment where they can encounter the power of God in such practical ways. So what a shining example that the Edge has been.
Hi, I'm Carissa, the communications director here at Parkway, and I have a special episode for you today. I have all of our pastors here at the table so we can reflect on and celebrate the last year of ministry here at Parkway. So I hope you can hang with us for a bit today. It's a full house. So first up, I've got Pastor Jay, our lead pastor.
It's good to be here.
And I have Pastor St. John, our executive and seniors pastor.
Hey.
And then Pastor Chase, who heads up our internship, Send Me GP, as well as our young adults and one of our youth pastors.
Hey, I'm excited to be here.
And we have Pastor Kylie, another one of our fantastic youth pastors.
Hey, you guys.
And then Pastor Bethany, our children's pastor.
Hey.
So, Pastor Jay, 2024 was a huge year for us. What do you have?
It has been an incredible year. 2024 just seemed like it flew by. The victories, the wins, the lessons, all the things that we're learning together as a team has been incredible to walk through. Really, my heart in wanting to do this podcast was just to be able to share our thoughts and appreciation for the wonderful congregation and community that we're called to reach, and be able to actually thank you guys for supporting us and giving you some highlights of our year. I felt like this last year, the Lord really called us to set the pace. 2025 is going to be a year about raising the standard. And at the end of this podcast, I'm going to give you some few thoughts on that. But if you're joining us on this podcast, whether you're driving or working out or doing whatever you're doing, this pastoral staff wants you to know that we're glad to be a part of your life and thankful for the many ways that you contribute to us. And we get to talk about all the great things that God's done through Parkway and its ministries, starting with our youth pastor, one of our youth pastors, Pastor Chase. Give me a highlight, man. Highlight this year of your guys' ministry. Love to hear from you.
Yeah, so, man, one of my highlights from this past year has just been in regards to our youth conference that we relaunched entitled The Edge. You know, The Edge, just to give a little bit of backstory, was a ministry that was launched over 20 years ago by Pastor Joe Lloyd, where it created a safe and really just exciting atmosphere for kids to be able to come and have an opportunity to be able to play a ton of fun games and do a whole bunch of crazy things like go-karts and rock climbing walls and so forth. But it also created an opportunity to have students hear the gospel message. And I think that being able to relaunch that and really be able to be devoted to that this past year has been pretty cool. We've been able to have a couple of different youth conferences, one in August, and then we just had one at the new year. And we had an artist come for the first time. We had youth groups come from over 2 hours away, which was super cool. But most importantly, we were able to actually see a handful of students give their heart to Jesus, and that's really what it's all about. So I think that's probably one of my biggest takeaways from the past year for youth.
Yeah, when I first moved here, The Edge was one of those events that really was a shining example of what this church has meant to this community over the, man, almost 100 years of its existence. The stories that you hear of not just hundreds of students coming to The Edge, but thousands of students coming to The Edge, and the large impact that that has had. And recognizing that every church that you're a part of, especially if it's a legacy church like Parkway, you're going to have some really high seasons in the past and some really low seasons in the past. But watching you and your team really implement a tip of the cap to the past, but also understanding that we're moving forward, has been really cool. When I was walking through The Edge New Year's Eve, half of the kids I didn't even recognize, know who they were, watching the gospel impact them in such a powerful way. Parkway is always going to be known as a church and a ministry that is constantly trying to pay it forward to reach the next generation. Youth and children are something that is near and dear to this pastor's heart. It doesn't mean that's the only thing that we're going to be doing. We believe God cares about everybody regardless of your age. But we do believe that we have a responsibility, especially to the children and youth of this community, to provide an environment where they can encounter the power of God in such practical ways. So what a shining example that the Edge has been. So, Pastor Bethany, you've done a lot of crazy, wonderful things in 2024. What would be a highlight for your ministry?
Yeah, so just so you guys know, there's like a microphone propped up in between two tables, and it looks like there's this nylon type material in front of the microphone. So this is kind of where we're set up today. But yeah, one of my highlights for kids ministry has, it's kind of similar to Pastor Chase's, but it has to do with the different outreach opportunities that we've had in kids ministry. I feel like our overall reach to kids in the community and families has expanded, and that has been really cool to experience, getting to see that expansion through events like VBS and Kids Night Out, and we're doing a Lego event here in a week or so. But one of my favorite moments is I remember at VBS when I was speaking, and we were kind of introducing altar moments to kid events at, you know, outreach events, and I remember seeing 30 plus kids on an altar, and someone captured a picture in that moment. And I think, to be honest, that was one of my biggest highlights of that year, was, you know, seeing that expansion of kids ministry to different kids, but also the impactful moments that we got to see to kids in our community at the altar. That was really cool.
Yeah, for those of you that are listening that maybe are don't really understand the nature of what we mean by altar moments or response moments, it is a core conviction of ours here at Parkway to really have three different kinds of elements in our services. One is passionate worship. We don't believe that songs are just songs. We believe they become anthems of declarations of faith, that we really, the Bible says, if we lift up the name of Jesus, all people will be drawn unto him. And so we recognize that corporate worship and where two or three are gathered, that Holy Spirit moment is so important, and it really rests on the back of that worship experience. And obviously there's different kinds of worship experiences and styles. We're not trying to choose one or the other, but the second element we want is a challenging word. And then Pastor Bethany just so eloquently said, we really believe in having moments where people can respond to the moving of the Holy Spirit. That in those corporate worship moments, it's where lives can really be changed, because you can feel the tangible presence of God. And we don't want just our kids ministry just to be full of just fun activities and crafts and Sunday school stories. And those are important. We don't believe that church should be boring. But we also do believe that there should be room for the Holy Spirit to encounter young people and children in a profound way. There's no such thing as the junior Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And so watching Pastor Bethany this last year lead wonderful ministries on Sunday mornings in VBS has been really a highlight of my year. Just to put a number, our people are going to want to know, I think it was like 160-something students VBS this year. I don't know if you know off the top of your head, what was the number?
To be honest, Pastor, I'm pregnant right now. it's been 6 months, but I want to say our goal was around 150, and I think it was around that.
So. Yeah, just seeing the growth. A year over year, the expansion of team members, the things that you were able to do. Thank you for what you've done and brought our children to, which is those wonderful moments that they're never going to forget. They're never going to forget those moments they have around at an altar getting impacted by Jesus. So incredible stuff. All right, Pastor Kylie, middle school pastor, give me a highlight this year.
Yeah, there's been a lot of cool things that have been happening in our youth, and God's been moving. And one of the things that I was processing as you asked us this question was really our student discipleship. One of the programs we do, if you guys don't know about it, is Fine Arts. It's designed to help students discover, develop, and deploy those God-given gifts. If you don't know, the best youth in the whole world live here in Grants Pass. They are the best ones. They're not just gifted, but they're called. And I really, truly mean that they're called not tomorrow, not 10 years in the future, they're called right now. They are walking on our campuses. The biggest missions fields in the United States are right here on our public school campuses. And so it's been cool to see these discipleship opportunities through things like Fine Arts, help our students to see that, hey, I have a gift now that I can use. One of those wins was we tried out a deploy year, as we called this year, where we, instead of attending our national conference that we do for Fine Arts, we actually decided to go on a mission trip to a small community on the coast, Garibaldi, and we got to do a VBS there, and it was so impactful for our students. So to give you like an idea of numbers, in a town under 1,000, we had 100 people, a little over 100, on a campus ministering to people who have never even been to a church campus before. and the growth that our students get to see of, we probably weren't enough people serving. They're probably because we didn't expect that many people, but our students got to see God can use me. Yeah. So they were teaching the lessons, they were doing the crafts, they were ministering, they were spreading the gospel to people who came to that event. Yep. And how cool is it to see our young people go, God's using me now, not later, like I was saying, but God's using me now. Huge win for the year.
And as a parent, like I'm like a target audience for young people, just because both of my sons, one's in the internship program under Pastor Chase at 19, and then my youngest son, Jace, is 12, and he's in the middle school program. Watching them be able to be a part of a life-giving youth ministry that are led by just wonderful people. If you're in our community and you're looking for something for your young people, I would encourage you not to walk to this church, but to run to this church and just envelop your kids in just a wonderful, healthy environment of what it really means to be a part of not just faith that's a million miles away, but faith that is tangible, that can actually be inserted in their life. And to watch our kids not just come to church and receive, but actually come to church and be conduits is really what Pastor Kylie is sharing. And I believe that's one of the most important things that we could teach our young people. And so, you know, the choice is in front of you, right? The choice is in front of you and your grandkids and your children, that if you want what you've always gotten, do what you've always done. But if you want God to be able to raise you up as a family in a new way with new passions and new energies towards your faith, you know, why don't you try to invite your grandkids and your grandkids' friends to Parkway? And really they're going to experience a level of Jesus and faith that maybe they've never experienced, and it's going to transform not just their life, but the husbands and fathers and the mothers and daughters they're going to become. So hear, man, Fine Arts Festival. And to piggyback on that, we're actually starting a kids' fine arts this year, and Parkway is going to be the host site for all of that. So we're not just teaching young people to deploy their gifts and develop their gifts. We're actually going to be teaching elementary school kids to be able to do so. So that's going to be on the horizon for 2025. All right, the man, the myth, legend, Pastor St. John. To say that he just runs our Parkway Seniors Ministry would be a gross understatement of what he does. But he's going to give you a highlight of the many facets and ways that he loves our community. And give us a highlight of what God's done.
All right, so the first one, before we get to the seniors, has any of you ever heard of Timmy and Tubby? All right.
Oh, no.
So one of the things that we launched as well, and it's over a year old, but that is Rock the Block. And we have two inflatables in there, and one of our wonderful sponsors and patrons of Rock the Block, who actually owns the trailer that houses everything, he refers to these two very large immovable objects as Timmy and Tubby. And so affectionately that name has stuck. But, you know, we've seen even Rock the Block in our outreach to our community this year. We upgraded with sine wave flags that we put up. We have these wonderful A-frame signage that really just makes it noticeable when we're in a block party situation. And just seeing the volunteer, but we're going to be looking for more. We've had a couple people that have moved out of our area. We have to replace some people, but we got the team and shirt. So Rock the Block has been an amazing outreach and even more an extension, because it's not just limited to those weekends there, but it's been used. I think the youth have taken our inflatables on missions trips. It's been used for many different activities, and so it has been a solid, rock-solid investment in our community. And really, it's just connecting neighbor to neighbor. And we even saw some results of that. Now, into my seniors ministries, I always say there's more to life than Medicare and Medicaid commercials. And I threw out at the beginning of the year, one of the things I was challenged by was, we talked about our volunteers and how do you attract a volunteer? How do you get quality? How do you get people connected to be on the right seat on the bus? And so one of the things I did is I wrote some job descriptions for some volunteer positions. Normally you would just, you know, take someone out possibly dinner and do the ask, but I wanted to give them something concrete they could look at. And when I did that, I now have a missions coordinator in my seniors ministries that keeps us connected to the mission field. Every month has a keynote speaker. In fact, this month I think we have Junior coming in.
Awesome.
To speak to our seniors as well. In his ministry. And we have an activities coordinator, which results in something I'm not sure how this is going to look, but even coming up in March, we have Traditions Volleyball going on. And so be in prayer for that. And I have an outreach coordinator as well, who, you know, if we have connecting ministries that are traveling through or want to reach out to us, that they now know the process about how to onboard or evaluate and vet those. So just the thankfulness to see the willingness of our seniors to serve, but they always have been up to things that they've never stopped doing, that they just love doing. I mean, unbeknownst to us, we just recently made sure that we had over 150 gifts for our rehabilitation center behind our church here, that on Christmas Day, that those would be distributed by the staff. And we also get gifts for every staff member there. We don't want anybody to feel like they've been forgotten, so they got handwritten cards. But unbeknownst to us, one of the residents in there was one of our very own folks from Traditions who happened to be in there. And so it was even more touching to think, you know, that we're not just ministering to our community, but they're ministering one to another as well. Right. And to see that happen, that's really been exciting on there.
Yeah, when I think about the impact that our seniors ministry has in our community and through our church, you know, you and I have had an opportunity to meet with the leadership team from Parkway Seniors in the past couple months. And I said something to them in private that I'll say in public now. I believe that is probably, if not the most vital, one of the most vital ministries that our church has. I believe your church should look like your community, and we live in a retirement community, and there are so many people that feel like they're forgotten. As many of us know, when you're young in life, the tide of life brings things to you, and as you get older, the tide of life brings or takes things away. And the vital ministry that we have of reaching widows and orphans and those that maybe life seemingly has forgotten, we want them to know that God still has eyes on them. And, you know, our seniors ministry is so just integral, not just in their own ministry, but the funding of so many other ministries in our church, you know, to let them know that this pastor loves and appreciates all that they do. And then the missions piece, Pastor, as you know, as you announced this last Sunday, we had a goal that when we arrived that our missions would become 10% of our overall budget, over $100,000, and we were able to hit over $125,000 this year in missions giving. And to see that our impact out of, you know, little old Grants Pass can actually affect the entire world, what a legacy to be a part of. Our monies and dollars and our resources have gone all the way as far as India, other countries that, you know, probably need to be remained unnamed just because of the sensitivity of our global workers. But that senior ministry has really led an incredible thing. And then the one thing that you'll hear in our staff is just the idea that our staff has eyes, that our church is not just the church inside of our four walls. It is really deploying, it's raising up, it's outreach centered, that a church that just is caring about what's happening in the four walls of their own church is a church that's not going to be really the church that God has created. We don't believe that we're just pastoring a local congregation. We really believe that we're pastoring a community. And we believe that Grants Pass has great days ahead, and we're glad to be able to be part of pastoring that community. So you guys have talked a little bit about your own ministries. From your guys' purview and perspective, maybe what's one highlight that you've seen church-wide that really challenges you, Pastor Chase?
Yeah, totally. So I know that, you know, Pastor Jay, you just alluded to this, but I was going to bring up even like our mission, vision, and values of our congregation and our church. One of the things I was thinking about over the course of this past year is that 1,110-1, and that goal that 1,000 represents that growing church, 100 represents, you know, those trained volunteers, 10 meaning that we want to be able to send 10 people out to be able to go you know, just love on people and be able to go preach the gospel. And we're going to do it by loving people one person at a time. And I was reminded of that this past year. And I honestly was thinking about a whole bunch of different wonderful, wonderful opportunities to be able to share and wonderful things that we've done over the course as a church. But one of the things that I was just reminded about is about our internship program. And over the course of this past year, getting outside of the four walls. I know you just alluded to this and something that I was going to bring up. But seeing our interns who are a bunch of young adults, 18 to 25 year olds, who find themselves still trying to figure out what really they're called to, and to be able to go deposit time, effort, energy, just to be able to invest into these young people has been something that's been really cool. And the reason why I brought this up and the reason why I feel like this correlates with our entire church is because the fact that we have a pastor, a church board, an entire congregation to where we go and be able to serve our traditions ministry on a Thursday and be able to see just people, man, just corral around these young adults and be able to let them know that God's got something in store for them is just something that's been really cool to see. I mean, being able to have these interns be able to go do some outreach in different states to be able to go to different conferences and in places like Phoenix, Arizona, and to be able to go get fed. So that way they can be able to know that they're part of a church that's not dormant. They're not a part of a church that's just stuck to the people inside of the four walls, but that they're going to go out and be able to go preach the gospel outside of the four walls. And so just that 1,101, I do believe that we are a part of a church that's growing and a part of a church that's very vibrant. And being able to have these young adults be some of those individuals that are going to be that 10, the 10 that we're going to eventually be able to send out and go see them, be able to go pastor their own churches, be children's pastors, worship mm-hmm. leaders, I mean, you name it. And so just being able to see a congregation rally around a bunch of young adults, you know, it's definitely a scary thing to trust 18 to 25-year-olds, but at the same time, it's been really cool to see a congregation back them and support them and just to be able to fan that flame in the call of God that they have on their lives. So
that's it. And it's so personal to me because I've got my son in the internship program, and I weep tears when I think about how grateful I am that he said yes to Jesus. And I'm also so grateful that one day he's going to say yes to the call, and I don't know where that's going to end him up or where he's going to go or what he's going to be. But it is a personal thing to this pastor to understand that the cost of the gospel sometimes in a good way will cause you to send your children out to the world. I was recently in the Middle East, Pastor Chase, and I was sitting in a room of five or six young adults that just so happened to be from the same church in the upper Midwest. And they had a dream and a plan to send out 1,000 people from their church into the mission field.
Wow.
And they do something very unique that when they send, or a young person or a young adult or an adult or even a senior that's retired says yes to the mission field, they actually give them a number. And with that number is associated resources and time and energy and training, and we're going to back you. And there was this one particular young lady who was in her mid-20s that had said yes to Jesus and going to a foreign country that wasn't receptive of the gospel. And she was there teaching English. And about a month in, she invited these Muslim girls to her home and having a Bible study. And one of those Muslim girls gave her heart to Jesus. And that Muslim girl went home and told her family, only to find out that that Muslim girl was actually a really high-level person there that actually ended up getting that global worker kicked out of the country. So here I arrive on scene listening to this young woman's story who's 3 or 4 years older than my own son, who has literally trained her whole life that native language in that certain part of the country, to now be weeping because she just wants to go spend her life reaching people that no one else wants to go reach. And there was came this moment in this room where someone in the audience said, "What's your number?" And I think she said, I'm 427. And I get chills thinking about how that church has so dedicated themselves not to be the Dead Sea, or to think that the measure of success is by what you gain or what you get in church, but the measure of success is by what you release and the seeds that you sow. When I think about our vision, it really started challenging me, 1,101. I know you have to start somewhere. But I know that there's going to come a day when we're going to be able to report to our congregation and our culture and our life here that we've sent not just ones and twos out, but we've sent dozens and dozens and dozens of people out into the ministry. And we've already done that. You know, when I think about our ability to send some of our former pastors, Pastor Mike and Michelle, out to run that Standing Stone Ministries, and they're our largest missions gift that we give every month is to them. Our church is already being an example of what that actually means to send people out and not hoard or manipulate people as though they're part of our tapestry, but actually send them out. And so if you want to be a part of a church that reaches the nations, that's our goal, is to reach the nations. And I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but we're laying the groundwork to be a part of that kind of church, and to see our young adults step up and stand out. What an incredible thing that is. So, Pastor Bethany, what would be one of the highlights that you would see from our church?
I think one of the highlights that I've experienced overall in the church is our prayer and worship nights. Man, if you have not been to a prayer and worship night, I'm telling you, in a very friendly way, you're missing out, because the ways that the Holy Spirit is just showing up on those Sunday nights, through worship and time in the Word and intentional moments, just lingering. I feel like that's one of the words that came to mind when I was thinking of prayer and worship nights is there's just this special lingering that comes into the room and the Holy Spirit comes and speaks to people and moves, and it's just a really beautiful time, not to mention the fact that there's snacks and like fun little heaters outside. So just the environment that has been created for people to hang out and encounter God has been really cool
is
to
this
see. Because
you're pregnant?
I liked the snacks before I was pregnant, but I like them more now.
It's really what the Lord spoke to us when we first arrived is that we were to set the pace. And the church has been in retreat for so long. And I'm not just talking about Parkway. I'm talking, it seemingly seems like the church in America has been in retreat to really subjugating or allowing the world to dictate our schedules, rather than us say, no, we're gonna have a Sabbath. We're going to be here Sunday mornings, Sunday nights. We're going to be as a church family on Wednesday nights with youth and children and men's and women's Bible studies. And it really goes to the point that I feel like the Lord's honoring us with his presence as we've set the pace that he's asked us. Obedience really is the doorway for God's blessing. And so as we've been obedient, even this last Sunday night, watching the move of God at an altar was really beautiful to see. It's to me, it's the measure. The measure is not how much money you have in the bank as a church or how big your church is. The measure of success is his presence there. Because I've been a part of, or I've seen big churches that don't have his presence, and I've seen small churches that don't have his presence. But I've also seen big churches and small churches that have and house his presence. And that's what I want to be known for. I want to be known for a church that his presence dwells amongst us, and we're able to see life-changing results because of that. And so thankful for what God's doing on our Sunday nights. Pastor Kylie, what would you say was a win?
Yeah, as I was processing this, I was thinking about yesterday at staff meeting when you brought up that you got there about 9:30 and you saw a stage full of a bunch of toddlers and kids sprinting around our stage. And really, I feel like that is representative of maybe not a specific thing, but a cultural thing that I've seen as a huge win for 2024, of that there's a vibrancy, there's life. And I don't think we've even seen the beginnings of it. I think God is like going to do so much more than we can imagine, but what a win that is, that there's been not just one area of life and growth that's coming to our church, but it's everywhere. It's spread out on campus. And I love that you can see when you come into our church, we're a church that not just honors life, but wants life breathing and moving through our church. We want more kids on the stage. We want grandparents in the pews. We want, we are a church that wants life. And I've loved to see that. It's just been incredible in this year.
That multi-generational thing. I always say from the pulpit, if you can't hear the church crying, it's dying. That idea that, you know, the young ones, we should never look at them as nuisances. And what I'm so appreciative about our multi-generational church is what I try to teach in one-on-one conversations to the older generation is when you see young families and young kids come in the church, treat them as though they're your grandchildren that are coming home from a long, long time away and they're coming home for the holidays. How would you like to receive your own grandkids? How would you like to receive them into your home? And it shouldn't be, where have you been? It shouldn't be, I haven't seen you for a long time. It should be, I'm so glad you're here. And to shift that culture into a church has been a beautiful thing to watch, and to watch our older generation welcome the younger generation. And we've got kids that are racing up and down stairs. And it's funny, the older that I get, the more paranoid I get about a kid tripping down a stair or whatever. And I never really thought about it when my kids were little. It was like, they're just going to bump their head. But I find myself chasing all the little ones around, making sure that they're okay. And I'm sure by the time I become a grandparent, one day I'll probably have to have bubble wrap over my grandchildren, but thankful for the life that's being seen in our church in all different areas. Pastor St. John, what's an area for you?
I'm one of the things I'm super excited about is, you know, our church has always had a DNA, and that is Christ at the center. But I think our identity to be known, I think the community is going to start to recognize Parkway Christian Center. You know, up to the so many years, it was like, what church are you at? And I said, you know, the church across the street from Fred Meyer with the three big crosses. They're like, oh yeah, I know that one. Now I just start to say Parkway. They're like, man, I've been hearing about Parkway and things that you have been up to. And so I think our identity is really coming alive and coming online, and I am super excited about that and all the steps that we're taking to just make this such a place that impacts the people. You know, we don't want to impact just ourselves, but we want to impact our community and our world, and we're setting up all the stones for that to happen, for the path for people to walk on. And just the beauty, I mean, it was this summer, Pastor, you were officiating a wedding for Zeke and Elise, and I'm sitting there, and I got to MC the event later after that evening, but I'm watching two young, beautiful people that were in my children's church when they were just so little, and to watch how they have grown, and then that just makes you think about generations. Sarah Wiltrout the other day was telling me, she's like, hey, I'm doing an internship up at Portland Christian Center, and I'm meeting some of the kids that were in your kids' church with you when you were up there, I'm feeling older because I went and helped the Royal Family Camp, and the staff psychologist was one of my kids from Kids Church, and this camp nurse was one of the kids from Kids Church. So I'm just blessed. When you see multi-generational of, if we do it right, we will see the hand of God upon them. And I'm just so excited about our identity is coming fully alive.
That's right. And I also, if you're listening to this, I want you to understand that our boast is not in and of ourselves. Our boast is in the Lord. And to also say, really the thing that needs to be said in this moment is, this is not a perfect church. If you're looking for a perfect church, a church that has it all going on, that has all the right answers, you don't need to come here, because this is not a perfect church. But what we're learning how to walk out is what the Bible tells us to walk out with, in relationship with each other, to allow grace for each other, to allow forgiveness for each other, to allow our identities to grow in Christ. It's so important to be able to see, the idea of what God is trying to do in our community. Yeah, Pastor Bethany.
I just was curious. I don't know if you expected anybody to ask you, but do you have any personal ministry wins from 2024, or just things in the church overall that you've seen happen this year?
Something so tangible that I think needs to be mentioned that really spoke to my heart is this Easter service in 2024, where we presented the opportunity to start building our future. We've been talking about this concept that how you build a legacy or have a legacy is by how you honor the past is by forging in the future. And I don't know where my faith was at. I thought maybe we were going to take $20,000 or $25,000 in and start a fund to be able to one day address the many kinds of things that we needed in the physical location that we have. But when I got the number that we had raised in one offering, close to $250,000, $240,000, the money to me, and I hope you hear my heart, the money wasn't the big deal. You know, a lot of people look to that, but the money to me was secondary to a church congregation that's walking in unity that said, no, we're ready for what God's going to do tomorrow. And not only are we ready, but we're going to sacrificially give towards that. And on this podcast, you guys have probably heard saws and power equipment in the background. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. We've been hearing it, and I've been smiling every time because it's a picture of a vibrant, growing church that knows that they're not perfect, but knows that through our weakness, Christ is made strong. And a lobby being redone, a sanctuary being redone, a prayer room being redone, and hopefully in the near future, our kids ministry getting revamped and redone.
Yeah, but you've said, you know, not just to build for what we need, but build for what we expect. But I'm thankful that you hear from the Lord, and as you lead us and shepherd us, you know, to build for what the Lord says to expect. And we greatly believe that God has some great things in store for us.
Yes. I want what He wants, and to live where He lives. He doesn't live in the possible. He lives in the impossible. And it's one thing to stare at something and go, yeah, I can do that. It's another thing to stare at something and say, I can't do that, but I'm going to do it because the Lord's asked me to stand in the gap. And that's where really what I believe the Lord wants us to do in 2025 is we've set the pace, we've walked in obedience, and now He's asking us as a leadership team and as a church to raise the standard, to raise the standard in our character, to raise the standard in our competencies and to raise the standard in our courage. It takes courage to say yes to Him. to get out of a boat and to walk on water. I can't imagine being that disciple where he said, would you just take a step over? Knowing that every time I've been off a boat, I sunk. And to know that that's what God's calling us to, is God's calling us not to rely on money, not to rely on how many seats are in the pews, to not rely on what the world deems successful, but to be relying on his presence. So that's what I would say, Pastor Bethany. To me, that Easter Sunday was a pivotal moment for me as a leader to know that the church isn't here just to exist. And some congregations get in that cycle where they just want to exist. But living is not existing. Living is thriving and moving forward to what God has. Any final thoughts before we close and maybe chat for 2025? Does anyone have something that you're believing for 2025? If not, yeah.
Family camp.
Family camp. We're back at family camp.
We're all excited.
Yeah, that got postponed last year and some things happened. But if you're on the get on the list for family camp, that's going to be good. And then we're starting. You don't want to miss Easter this year. Easter is going to be another powerful time where we come together. But we're going to start a Good Friday service by the crosses. And it's going to be a sunrise service on that Friday morning. It's going to morph into Saturday where we're going to do Rise 24. And it's going to be a celebration on that Easter Sunday, which is going to be incredible. And I don't really know what all tomorrow brings, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I'm excited to be a part. Pastor Chase, any final thoughts?
No, I mean, I feel like we hit it on the head. I just, as I'm reminded for 2025, even for youth ministry, for internship, for our church as a whole, even as Pastor Jay, you were, speaking on 2024 and all the wonderful, God things that have taken place. I also just wanted to be able to inject faith to maybe anyone that's listening that, man, you can't out-dream God. And so as you guys are even thinking, not just from the church aspect, but maybe even personally, I would just encourage you guys, you can't outgive God. And even though God may be asking you to do the impossible, I also know that God sometimes calls us to be uncomfortable. And so making sure that you just know that, hey, God's got you in the palm of his hand. And whatever God's asking you to do, just say yes. I think that's the best advice I could give. So
that's right. I think about the possibility of this year. And you might find yourself listening to this podcast, might have fallen down, fallen away from the Lord, might feel like that, you once attended Parkway and there's no way that you can ever return. I felt like I was supposed to end this podcast with a word of the Lord that came for Sunday night, which is, this season is not that season. God is a God of seasons. And so if you find yourself wondering if you can come home to your faith, if you can come home to your church, if you can get back up and dust yourself off, if people are going to accept you or reject you, no, you're going to be accepted, because this season is not that season. And what the enemy thought that he could do to take you out actually has made you stronger. And when you walk through those doors and walk through that nice new carpeted lobby, what you're going to see is a bunch of people that are so excited to see you. So make sure that you come home for 2025 and be a part of what God's doing at Parkway. And we love you. God bless you. And we'll see you on Sunday.
Thank you, everyone, for coming in today. And thank you, listener, for listening. If you are in the Grants Pass area, we meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. and Sunday nights at 5 p.m. You can also find all of our sermons, podcast episodes, online in a few different places at parkwaycc.com/sermons, on our YouTube channel at parkway_GP, or wherever you are listening to this podcast. We will see you on Sunday.